This morning's public reading on this, the Lord's Day, is taken from Jeremiah chapter 4 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 4. I'm going to be reading in our hearing verses 3 to 18. Jeremiah chapter 3, okay, verses 3 to 18. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. So notice your audience. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of his doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defensed cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire. Stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is come up from the thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. At that time it shall be said to the people, to this people, and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places and the wilderness towards the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us! For we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thy heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declare it from Dan, and publish it afflictions from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations. Behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country, and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she has been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. Amen. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Very interesting reading. Now, basically, what is being done here is God is telling Jeremiah to proclaim to his people that Nebuchadnezzar was coming. The Babylonians are on the march. Notice the verse 13, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses shall are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. Now, since this is prophecy, and we're told to take prophecy literal, Hal Lindsey was so literal that the locust coming out of the abyss in Revelation was Black Cobra helicopters. So, what type of modern weaponry are we to understand in verse 13 if we use wooden literalism to interpret Jeremiah 4:13? Are we talking about an ancient battle here, or must we actually look at this the way Hal Lindsey looks at the locusts coming out of the abyss? His locusts are black cobra helicopters, and the stinging tails, I would imagine, must be the rockets or the missiles that are being fired from those helicopters, inflicting damage, destruction, fire, and pain. No, I don't think so. We're not going to use Hal Lindsey's interpretation. What we have here in verse 13 is nothing more but an old-fashioned, ancient battle, warfare being described. Okay? There's no need to allegorize this. Okay? But the book of Revelation, however, that is apocalyptic literature. Highly figurative, highly symbolic, highly dramatic, highly intense, and needs to be interpreted very carefully. It is quite obvious here that we're looking at an ancient battle of chariots, horses, spears, and bows and javelins. Probably a few slingshots to boot. So basically, in verses 3 all the way to verse 18, we have the impending invasion by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, did you notice verses 14? O Jerusalem, wash thy heart from wickedness. So are we talking about that organ pumping blood in the middle of your chest? Of course not. We're talking about the inner man. This nation and its inner man was depraved and dead because of sin. That thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts, notice, lodge within thee? The phrase within thee modifies heart, and heart modifies them. We're talking about the inner nature of the people here in the nation. And if you still doubt me, look at verse 18. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. So here he's talking about their behavior. He's talking about the fruits of that inner man. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. So all of their idolatry, all of their wickedness, all of their injustices, all of their mistreatment of the fatherless and the widow and the homeless, the greed and the physical adultery and the physical fornication that was going on, the spiritual adultery that was being practiced on every high hill and the grove with false gods and things of that nature, those were the fruit. But the root of the matter, the heart of the matter, was their heart. Not their politics. It was their heart. But then in verses 3 and 4, we have something, beloved, that is beautiful. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Now, was God really concerned about their fields? Was God here referring to the ground whereby they planted their next harvest? If that's your interpretation, then you might as well close your Bible. You just struck out. Because notice what comes next in context. Circumcise yourself to the Lord. I thought these guys were already circumcised, especially the guys. Take away the foreskin, not of your body part, but of your what? Your heart. Circumcision of the heart. See, beloved, people have taken the ceremony and the rite of physical circumcision, and they have built a church upon it that is totally fictitious. Physical circumcision, the removal of a piece of skin from the body of a boy baby, was a sign and a symbol all to itself. It was a sign and a symbol, because here, and you're going to find this also in Deuteronomy, where God tells the people at the beginning of the book to circumcise their hearts. Here he has to say it again hundreds of years after the fact, But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it is God who's going to circumcise their hearts for them. The circumcision of one's heart, beloved, is a picture of salvation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Who was a true Jew then, according to Paul? You take Jeremiah 4:4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your hearts, not your bodies. That was simply a sign and a symbol, but it was pointing to something much greater. And what was that? For he is not a Jew, Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. What is that referring to? The removal of the foreskin from a boy baby. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. So verse 28 uses Hebrew parallelism. Romans 2:28 is referring to the physical rite, the physical ceremony of removing the foreskin of a Jewish boy 8 days after birth. That does not make you a Jew. And therefore, all those Jewish babies who were circumcised, all those hundreds of years under the old covenant, that in itself did not make them a Jew, a true Jew, in heaven's eyes. So how do you become a true Jew in heaven's eyes? But he is a Jew, verse 29, which is one inwardly. The circumcision is that of the what? The heart. In the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That makes you a true Jew, a true Israelite, indeed, a true son of Abraham. Now, flip back to Jeremiah 9:26. Jeremiah 9:26. And notice this little ditty. Are we looking at the new covenant in its application to all the nations of the world? Egypt and Judah, Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the uttermost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart, not in the body. But hold on. It says Israel is not uncircumcised in heart. But I thought they were circumcised in the flesh. Well, that circumcision of the flesh, what does Paul say? Circumcision of the flesh availeth what? Nothing but faith, or better yet, a new creature. Well, that's definitely going to blow some people off their pews. May the Lord choose to bless His word. Amen.